I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
And who and what was thrown at that gentleman? And that gentleman has been ejected, but it was an ugly, ugly sight. I can't circle. I don't have my telestrator today, but what? Here comes a pizza. See it? Oh, jeez.
Highly unnecessary.
And the Bulldog.
Guy with the Patriots jacket, and of course he's been asked to leave the ball game for ruining a good piece of pizza. Get beer all over. And here comes
some pizza.
On WGR.
That was an awful sight here at Fenway, and that is not tolerated in this ballpark. He has been ejected and never again allowed to buy pizza.
Sports Radio 550.
Already you guys are arguing?
We are. I'm just trying to set the record straight here.
Why would you do, is it really worth it?
It kind of is because, you know, teams get a little sensitive on those things.
Oh, but, the teams.
We want to make sure we put out the correct information. It's actually something that I knew that when I wrote the tweet about Tyler Kroft, it would actually kind of be maybe misconstrued the wrong way, which is Sean McDermott's quote, though. I was quoting Sean McDermott, who said he banged his other ankle, which kind of makes you think he hurt previously the opposite ankle, which he didn't. It was the opposite foot. So one's a foot, one's an ankle. But the way Sean termed it to us at the end of practice was he banged his other ankle, meaning the opposite leg of the foot he just had surgery on. That's basically what it is. So I was making sure Joe knew the correct verbiage for the updates.
I think I know what Sean McDermott's reaction to this controversy will be. The one time I give information about an injury, and it's wrong. Why did I even have to say
he
anything?
Didn't. It was right.
It's day to day.
I just wanted to make sure that we got it.
We don't know any information.
The previous was a foot. Now it's an ankle, but we don't know what's up yet.
We don't know what exactly it is. We talk every day, though, and, you know, we'll do what's in the best interest of our team. Why did he stray from that? Was this after practice or something?
Yes.
That's why. Maybe
that's
he was
why.
Just like he had an impulse to actually
no,
be specific?
No, no. What happens is, here's how it works, to give you a little peek behind the curtain for everybody. So McDermott speaks to us on Wednesday before practice. And obviously he does Mondays after the games, after they get back and watch meetings. But Wednesday's before practice. On Thursday, he waits till after practice. It's more of an informal type of session. There's no podium. We just kind of go up and we talk to him. We say, like, how did practice go? Is there any updates? And he gives us any sort of update on players that had practiced, who had been injured, or people who may have gotten injured during practice. So today it was Tyler Kroft. He apparently left practice. He banged his ankle. So that's the news today. And then shortly after he talks to us, Mike, the injury report comes out, and sure enough, Tyler Kroft is listed as limited on it because he's going to tell us what happened, and then now we can add some context to the injury report.
I don't know, Bills. Lower body is probably all you needed.
Right.
Are you warm enough?
I'm fine. I'm good,
okay.
Yeah. I'm glad. I actually had this in my car from playing golf earlier this week. And when you tee off at 8:30 in the morning in September, it's going to be like 60 degrees.
Yeah, you're lucky.
So you need something a little bit longer sleeve.
You're lucky it's not even dark out.
By the time you get to hole 8 or 9, you're shedding clothing because the sun is coming out.
Yes. Well, that's also fun. Sal is in for Bulldog. We are at Tops on McKinley in Hamburg, which let's talk about whether this is actually Hamburg. So we are so close to the stadium. I think, now I live on Grand Island, right? This was like a 2-hour drive.
Right.
But if I live down here, I think I'm at Stadium Tops. I'm not sure I'm in Hamburg. Like the village of Hamburg, where the brewery is and all the kind of like the circles and all that kind of action down there is not even, it's like 10 minutes away. But this is Hamburg. They told us, you're going to Hamburg Tops. So we are at Hamburg Tops.
There are a couple nearby that I didn't know which one, but I assumed it was this one right away.
It's McKinley, Big Tree, Southwestern. We're down in that cluster.
Do you remember the text I sent you asking where it was? I specifically mentioned a road.
No.
I said, is it one on Southwestern? And that's what I assumed this one is.
Okay, and I said I'd get back to you.
Yeah, but it's actually considered McKinley. But McKinley. I think it's right there. But to me, I was thinking because of those, the way that converges right there.
Right.
I had called it to your text, Southwestern.
The way it converges is, I can't believe this is Hamburg. But it is. So we are at Tops, and here is why. This is the first of four shows that I'll be doing with Bulldog and Today Sal, where you can win a trip to see the Bills play in Pittsburgh. And Sal, that game is already, like, I'm already thinking about that game.
Yeah.
December 15th, round trip, coach, transportation, food and beverage, and Labatt Bills gear. Labatt is behind the promotion. You need a keyword to enter, and you go to WGR550.com, and that keyword is available here at Tops or at any Tops location in the Buffalo or Rochester areas. So, that's the deal. And we are in the beer cooler. So, they told us wear jackets. It's like 80 and sunny out. They told us wear jackets. So, we are both at the moment. Sal's got his golf jacket. I've got my Borussia Dortmund sort of like fake fan jacket on. Like, I can't tell you a single thing about the roster, the stadium.
Cool.
But I know that I decided to like them, and I have this jacket.
I can tell you're preparing for the Steelers game. It's Steelers colors.
Look at the socks and shoes.
Yeah, look at this guy.
I don't mess
black
around.
Black and gold.
All right. Hey, no offense to the guy, right? But do I need to care about Tyler Kroft being hurt?
I think with the – right, no offense to the guy. In the manner in which you're asking, Bills roster-wise, performance-wise, position-wise, no, I think they've been fine at that position. Tommy Sweeney and Dawson Knox have done just fine, and Lee Smith is their blocking tight end. You know, the only thing I would suggest here is to be careful of being thin. As you go on, there will be injuries, and if somebody gets hurt, it would be nice to have Tyler Kroft right there to be able to play as well. But as of right now, they haven't had him for two games, and they've been fine without him. And to be honest, and I said this, Mike, during training camp, when I watched Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney, I said we may be talking next offseason about Tyler Kroft being the worst of the free agent signings, the one that didn't work out. At this point, that's where this is trending.
All right, so I'm excited that you're with me. If anybody wants to ask Sal like a Bills question, like a Billsy Bills question, Sal's at practice every day until they stop stretching, and then he has to go. Where do you go, actually? When the stretching is stopped and they actually start to practice, you have to leave. Where do you actually go? You just sit in like a closed room with no windows?
Well, first actually do get to stay for a little while after that because we get to watch what they call individual. That's everybody's individual position work. Quarterbacks throwing, running backs running, D-line with the bags. That's after all of the stretching. But after that, Mike, yes, we actually get taken back into the media room.
Mm. Are you allowed to come and go? Are you allowed to go to the bathroom?
I can do that. There's a bathroom in the media room.
There's a bathroom in there.
Oh, no, wait.
Good thing.
Hey, I got to tell you.
Good thing.
There's coffee in there. There's drinks.
I'm sure there are. They don't want you
and
to
food.
Think. I bet. They don't want you to think about the fact that you're not allowed to leave.
I can leave. I can go home if
oh,
I
you
want.
Can just, but you sure. can't go back in?
I can't go back to practice.
I bet. 803-0550 if you have questions for Sal. I've got a bunch of them, so don't feel any pressure. But you might have a question. So here's a question. My questions aren't necessarily good. Here's a question I'm working on. So here are the Bills at 2-0. And what is the question, for the most part, everybody's asking? How legit is it? Right? You want to know how legit is 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had beaten New England twice, or New England once and, you know, at Dallas or something, if those are their first two wins, we're not asking that question. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's like 10. At New England, at Dallas, if those are the two games and they win both games, which is like 9 or 10 out of 10, perfect score. If they had beaten Miami twice, or Miami and who? Maybe it's the Giants.
Sure.
If they had beaten Miami and Washington, whatever you want.
Something like that.
The two weakest teams in the league.
Right.
Or the two weakest games in their schedule, whichever you prefer. In their first two games, it's like a 1. And if it's 10, nobody's questioning them, you know, except for, like, hey, it's early, but, like, wow, how can you do better than this? If it's 1, everybody's questioning them. Like, nobody's taking it seriously. So what is what we have? 1 to 10, what is what we have?
I think it's a 6. It's better than being given credit for. And I think it's a 6, Mike, because they've both been on the road. If both those same victories and games were at home, I'd give it maybe a 4 and say I still need to see it. I got to see they've been at home, they've been two inferior opponents. But I give it a 6 because of two reasons, actually. number one, they went on the road, and I think that's hard to do against in any situation, but especially in home openers for teams. Teams are jacked up. They're ready to go. You played a Giants team that just got embarrassed on the road. They came home.
Do you think – we could look it up. Do you think teams win a higher percentage of their home openers than their other home games?
Probably not.
Probably not,
right?
Maybe
something I say. But it feels like it.
McDermott said it about the Giants. He's like, oh, this is their home opener. I wonder if it's true. I wonder if it's meaningful.
I'd
anyway,
like to,
sorry.
I'd like to see. The other reason, though, I'll tell you, is what's encouraging to me is that they did it in two different ways. You know, in one game, they had to come back down 16 in the second half and down 13 in the fourth quarter. The other game, yeah, they were down early, but they took charge, and they just kind of stayed there the whole game, and they really weren't threatened, maybe except for the late third, early fourth quarter when the Giants closed the gap a little bit, but then the Bills had the answer. So I think, to me, those are the two things that push it over the, okay, it's not, they just played bad teams type of deal.
Two best quarters are the fourth quarter at the Jets and the second quarter at the Giants. Maybe their two only real good quarters are those two quarters, but those are their two best quarters for sure, right? Fourth quarter at the Giants is okay.
Best quarters, but I think you have to think score effect comes into play a little bit here.
Yeah, of course, definitely.
The way the game is being played, you're not being as aggressive maybe against the Giants when you have that two-touchdown lead.
Mm-hmm.
And things just were I thought they played well in the first quarter against the Jets. They just had a really horrible turnover, and that wound up costing them. I thought they played well in that game in the first quarter. They were pretty much dominating that game early on, and then they found themselves down.
Yeah, it's tough when you don't score a point.
Right.
But, yeah. How do you like this opponent this week for them?
Oh, I really like this opponent this week.
For two reasons. One is, like, here's a word that's not a real word, beatability. You know, like Miami this week would be a great opponent for them too, right? But you want something, I want something that's sort of winnable but also tells me something. And, like, the Bengals, here's 1-10 again. Maybe they're like a 7 or an 8 for that. Where they're not a top team, and I don't have to be worried about feeling like this was all for naught if the Bills lose.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, that part wouldn't change, but the Bengals are more beatable, is all I mean, than certain other teams. Like, if it's Baltimore this week, you feel like, are you really finding out?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If that game, Baltimore at Buffalo, is this week, you're really finding out how you stand in September, you know, for what you are. Bengals. It's not that. It's also not the Dolphins. It's okay. It's pretty good for testing what they are.
I tend to agree more with that, Mike, but
am I giving the Bengals too much credit by saying that?
No. I don't think you are. But I think what's going to happen is, even if the Bills win this game by 13 points, let's say, which would be in the NFL, that's a wide margin, if they do that, I think you're still going to hear a lot of the same stuff coming out of the national media or even local media exactly asking what you're asking me today, which is, do we really know? The Bengals are 0-3. They haven't beaten a team at all with a win yet. You know, who knows if the Giants or Jets win this week. But the questions are still going to be the same next week at this time as you're asking right now if they beat the Bengals. I don't think this win, if they beat the Bengals, I don't think that changes anything from the perspective that you're bringing it from.
It really, you don't think it does?
I don't think it does for
most
people. For me, I think this team can pose some challenges to them.
It probably depends on what the game looks like.
Right.
I think overall, the first two games, you know, this is the kind of thing that will get, quote, tweeted. They were wins. But they were not, like, so excellent in those two games where you just don't even question anything about it. You know, like, especially the first one. But, you know, so what? That's the bottom line is, so what?
That's right.
The bottom line is, if you beat Cincinnati and you're a 6-point favorite to do so, you're 3-0 with two wins in the conference. Like, that's
right.
All that matters. You don't have to play everybody.
Like, one of the pet peeves I have when these discussions are being had is, and I saw this a lot after the Giants game, immediately after, which is, well, you know, if they do that against the Patriots, if they play this way against this team, well, they didn't play the Patriots. And every game is different. And I don't know if they would react the exact same way. And again, it goes to, you'd have to know your opponent. If they're up on the, for example, they're up on the Giants 21-7.
Yep.
They get the ball very late in the second half. They take a knee, even with two timeouts. And lots of people, oh, my God, if that's the Patriots, they'll just make you pay for that. And that's fine. I wanted them to go attack. Like, I would say, to me, they should have gone down the field and tried to attack. But the fact that it was the Giants changes that equation. So that's why it doesn't matter to me if when they play the Patriots. Because they did not feel, to me, threatened by the Giants and said, we can kneel on it, take our – let's why risk anything? We'll be fine in the second half with a 2-touchdown lead.
Do you think if you take everything about that game and make it exactly the same, only it's at New England, they don't do the same thing? That's your point, right? That they don't do the same thing? They would attack New England at 21-7 with the ball?
I think they would.
Do you? I'd like to think you're right.
I think they would.
I need to know you're right. That would take me up one whole grade
now,
about what I think this is.
Now, I would say this, Mike. I think the series before that mattered because they did go 3-and-out, and it was, okay, like, we seem discombobulated here. They may have just said, no matter who it is, we can't let that happen again. Too close to a mistake. Let's just get in and regroup in the locker room. And I understand from that perspective. But, again, let's go back to the first game. Well, you know, if you have four turnovers against the Patriots, you're going to lose. That's probably right. I don't know. But they didn't. They played the Jets, and they won. So you can't base anything off that because every game is different.
That game in 1980 where the Bills finally beat Miami and the goalpost came down?
Yes.
It had seven turnovers.
Amazing. How many did they turn over the other way?
I don't know. Probably a couple, but not seven.
Did they really
somewhere
have seven?
Yeah.
How many did Ferguson throw?
I don't know.
Receptions.
But it was seven.
Total turnovers.
Look up the 78 Steelers, too. It's insane. Like, the 78 Steelers turned the ball over, I don't know, 15 times in the playoffs. And they just dominated every game.
It didn't matter.
No. All right. We are near the beer at Tops on McKinley. I hope people aren't scared to buy beer because we're here. Like, you come in and you feel like you can just go get your beer and, you know, no problem. It's still that way. It's still like that. We're just here broadcasting. Doesn't change anything. We have a guest fest today. Sal's going to be here for most of it. Joe Goodberry.
Yeah.
On the
Bengals. I like Joe.
Local guy.
Uh-huh.
Really good.
Another Grand Island guy, maybe.
Falls.
Okay. Up there. Over the bridge, at least.
Grand Island is one Brett Kern, two Joe Marino, three TBD. We don't know.
Why are you
in football circles?
I think Mike Shope could be thrown in there.
Joe Goodberry, John Clayton.
Well, he's not from Grand Island.
No.
Okay.
He's from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just back in Pittsburgh, and that's one thing I'd like to talk about
Absolutely.
With him.
Absolutely.
He's on the Seattle broadcast. He's on the visitor sideline. It must have been pretty cool for him, even with all he's been in football and all he's seen, to be on the Steelers sideline. That probably was pretty cool for him. And then Evan Abrams from the Action Network. We'll talk about spreads. We've got a game tonight. And Tennessee, interestingly, I think Tennessee is a small favorite at Jacksonville. And with Jacksonville, number one story, Jalen Ramsey.
That's right.
This is what it looks like. Jalen Ramsey is going to play and be traded tomorrow. Right? I mean, wouldn't you expect that at this point? I feel like I do. ESPN, Josina Anderson has sources saying that he does not expect to be on the team next week.
You're saying all indications he'll be traded tomorrow, you said?
I think so.
Before the game?
No, tonight's
the game. Oh, tonight's the game. I'm sorry.
He plays tonight.
He even said, I expect to get traded Friday.
I think everybody sort of is talking like they expect that. And there's about a half dozen teams listed, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, Philadelphia.
Well, and you made a point yesterday about, I think, did you question why the Jags would play him tonight?
Well, that came up. Yeah, I mean...
Is an interesting, let's say you have the parameters of a deal in place. You know you're going to do it, but you're not quite there yet. Do you play him tonight and risk injury, or do you play him, or do you need to win, so you play him tonight?
Absolutely not for me. He
does
not play. No.
He is playing for me.
Against Tennessee?
I don't know.
Do I have to have Jalen Ramsey to beat Tennessee?
Probably not, but he's still... He may be my most talented player.
I know. Well, then I don't trade him at all.
And I'm 0-2.
Then I don't trade him at all. Right? Like, he's excellent.
And
what should Jacksonville do? Like, if you're running Jacksonville, what would you do? You would never trade him. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Maybe you would trade him. If you don't like his attitude.
It's not – no, no. Actually, I'm not – he's not my cup of tea for that, Mike. But he's nothing like a lot of some of these other guys. He's just – he wants to be paid. He's a little flamboyant. He's like a diva wide receiver, but he plays the other side of the ball. That's really what he is. I'm actually – I'm okay with Jalen Ramsey being like talking as much as he does sometimes because he's so good he can back it up. It gets a little bit like just a little too much noise sometimes, but The reason why I hesitate is his contractual situation would make me pause on that.
Good point.
I think you may have to do it because you just know you're not going to pay him what he wants in the long run. So you got to get something for him now. But otherwise, if he was locked up for the next couple of years, I would not trade him, and I would do whatever I can to work my butt off to fix this relationship.
What I almost definitely would do is keep him and sign him. I might not. I respect your point. I think it's correct. And not it's not enough necessarily that he's great for me to want to sign him for, you know, however many more years at top dollar, right? So I might really want to ponder that. What I would never do is trade him because he argued with my coach or right. because he's That's mad right. at me. It's reportedly more about Coughlin than Marrone. I would never do that. It would be reactionary, and that's when, in fantasy, you go get a guy. When the guy goes to the message board and says how much he hates how Mike Evans or Joe Mixon is doing, guess who's getting a call from me? That guy. Oh, you're upset? You know what, Sal? I understand. Joe Mixon has 27 yards. Mike Evans, what's wrong? I would take him, but, I mean, I don't know if you want to get rid of him. Then they go, yeah, I would. I would trade him. Mm-hmm. And then
sure,
we go from there.
Yeah, the point you make about the head coach and all that stuff that happened, that, to me, that's always salvageable. You get people together.
Yes.
It's funny. We just had this same discussion in the media room today about the Mike Francesa-Pat Shurmur thing.
Shurmur's on with him.
Not anymore. They canceled it.
Well, yeah, now.
Right. And
your team is trash, whatever.
That's right. And I do think it's Mike Francesa went too far. There's no doubt.
What? How can you do that?
But I also think that there was a commitment made by the coach. I think and this could have happened. I don't know. To me, there needs to be some sort of mediation there before you get to the, we're just done with you, we're not doing it. And there may have been. I don't know. And that's the same thing here with this Jalen Ramsey, Doug Marrone, whatever. Come on. Like, get the people in a room. Let's talk about it. It's an emotional game. We're all here for the same reason. Let's try and win. Maybe they did that with Francesa and Shurmur. I don't know. But I at least would try to do that before saying he's not going on with you anymore, period.
Things get interesting when you have two people that think they have nothing to lose. I don't need this interview. Neither do I. Then it can blow
right.
up. You know. But most times in life, it's not like that. People respect sort of the yes, framework, right. and they feel like they might need to do a good job. Maybe not in that case.
I did not hear what he had said until we had this debate, and then someone played it for me, and I said, okay, you're right. Like, that's way over the line.
You know?
How can you treat the guy like that?
Here's what it sounds like to me, and then we'll get to a break. It sounds like to me Jacksonville knows it has a deal for Ramsey tomorrow or this weekend, like before
yes,
next
and
the
he
next
knows.
Game. And because of that, Ramsey knows, but they're going to play him anyway. And, I mean, I can't believe he would play the full game like normal in those terms, in those conditions. But we'll see. Especially against the Tennessee team that, I mean, I'm not even sure you have to have corners to defend their passing game. It's terrible. Anyway, Joe Goodberry, John
Clayton.
You're
going to go into the game with no corners because
I mean, just
your
to
quarterback
see.
And passing game
That'd be
stink.
Confidence. That would be confidence. Just, we're not going to even defend your wide receivers. I don't think you can get it out there anyway. Come on. It could happen. It's probably happened in college. You're at high school games. I bet it's happened.
Wait. When we come back from the break, let me tell you a funny story about a high school game, okay? About this.
I won't stop you.
When we come back.
I won't stop you. Unless, hopefully Tops is okay with it.
I'm sure it is.
We're at Tops on McKinley, and there's a Labatt Bills promotion. We'll tell you more about that. John Clayton, among others, later. Chris List, too, from RotoWire, late in the day. Mike Shope with Sal Capaccio. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bills Mafia is the fun, the exciting, the energy, you know, the place is just amazing. And you can't really, I don't think you can really explain, you know, the atmosphere until you're really in it. You know, everybody's, you know, going to be excited. Everybody's going to be riled up. At the end of the day, you know, we know we still got to go out there and play football at the end of the day, which is what we do. You know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be electric. And, you know, we're excited to see, you know, Bills Mafia help us.
Jordan Poyer on WGR this morning. His fellow starting safety, Micah Hyde, joins Bulldog and me Mondays at 4. I'm loving that so far, Micah Hyde. Super smart.
Awesome.
Super smart.
Yep.
Yeah, I look forward to that on Mondays. Sal Capaccio is here with me. I'm Mike Shope. We are at Tops on McKinley, which is Hamburg. I won't fixate on this, I promise. I live on an island. Everything on the island is the island. Mm-hmm. Every place I go to without going over a bridge is a place on Grand Island. So here we've got this busy intersection, and I'm near the stadium, and it's Hamburg. It doesn't really seem like Hamburg, but that's the last I'll say about it. It is, I guess.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Are you also excited for me to stop bringing this up?
Yeah, maybe.
If I just stop really?
They're not really big deal.
You don't know where all the boundaries are your house?
I don't, but when I was growing up, I remember, like, some people would say, like, you know, the Bills play out in Hamburg or something, and then I grew up and it was in Orchard Park, and I'm like, I couldn't kind of rectify the two, and then I realized that the Erie County Fair was in Hamburg, but that's, like, almost right across the street, it seemed like, from the stadium, so, yeah.
Blaisdell.
Dunkirk. No, that's way down. I'm thinking about the sign.
For all the money, you drive me to this store.
Right.
I'm blindfolded, or I'm in a limo with tinted windows. I can't see out. I get out and look around, and for all the money, you say to me, where are you? I say Blaisdell.
Really?
Yep.
Right here?
Yep. Okay. But I am not good at that. Like, I am not good at that, and I'm not from right nearby. So, I mean, I would not be so mad to be wrong. I wouldn't expect to be right.
I would say Hamburg, I believe. I think I'd say Hamburg.
You would.
And I'd be right.
All right, what's your story?
So there was a high school game down in Florida years ago that I was witness to, and one team had a really stud wide receiver, like super good. And that's why, like, we were kind of there to watch, like, this really good team. It was a really good game or whatever. And the kid was like a D1 type of prospect. And the game was a blowout in the second half, and they were still throwing the ball to him. And the kid was making plays. So the coach on the other team basically got fed up with it. So what he did was he put basically the smallest, least talented kid on his team out to cover him and basically dared the other coach. If you want to throw to him right now and you want to embarrass us, you're going to do it in front of all these people. So go right ahead and do that. And what you said about we'll just not even have any corners line up,
I mean,
it kind of reminded me. But that's what he did. And he said basically, okay. He threw a kid out there who really was never going to be on the field anyway, lined up across from the wide receiver, and he dared him. Okay, you want to embarrass us? You want to do that? Why don't you go embarrass that kid and see what happens? They didn't throw to him, by the way, after that. But
you and I, you and I have sparred on culture many times.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about Jacksonville and culture, and you are deciding to divest of Jalen Ramsey, here is a great opportunity. Take him out. You play this game against another AFC South opponent that can't really throw, just like you, at home, in front of the whole country, and you like, we don't need him. That's what you're saying by trading him for a draft pick anyway. We don't need this guy. The Jaguars are not going to show up at a press conference after trading Jalen Ramsey and talk about how they think they need to build for the future. Tom Coughlin, what's his future? Marone in that job, he's been there for years. They can't do that. They're going to trade him out of spite, I think. So, if you
really...
I think
they're going to trade him because he wants to be out of there, and they...
Well, they don't have to oblige him.
They don't, but I do think that's where it comes into play, where I'm just not going to deal with this anymore. If this guy's going to be like this, and maybe they actually... Maybe Tom Coughlin has reached out to him or his agent. We don't know that, but if they're to a point where, look, this guy's just going to be a problem, and he's just going to talk about wanting to not be here all the time, we got to get rid of him.
Okay, but what I'm saying here is... If you're culture guy, you've got an opportunity here. What a player like what Vontae Davis did for the Bills was give McDermott a new opportunity to galvanize the players who didn't quit. So if Ramsey, the Jaguars can try to port, like, this will not go over well with like Fournette and a lot of those guys probably, so you have to be careful. But what do football coaches like to tell you? If they don't want to be here, I don't want them here.
That's right.
Here you go. You're playing another team. You're not playing New England. You're not playing who? I mean, you're not playing a team that can really abuse you,
right.
The Rams, for not having Jalen Ramsey on the field. So you take him off the field. If they know what they're doing, and the way the reports sound, it's correct to believe they intend to trade him this weekend. He doesn't play very much. He's in uniform. They might make a spectacle out of it. You know, Marone.
Yeah.
Marone can do that.
Yes, he can.
You know, he might be more than any other coach.
Marone could also say, "Well, no, I'm going to play him because of that. I'm going to show him. If you're on this team, you're going to play, and you're
going
to do it."
He may do that
side of it.
He could, but I think again, I'll say it the same way. A culture guy goes, "There's more value in this for me to do the other thing," which
I understand
is
that.
To embarrass him,
yep.
To sit him. You know what? You don't want to be here, then fine. We don't need you. We don't need you to beat Tennessee. And they maybe don't. You know, they're like a one-point dog or whatever they are. They don't need Jalen Ramsey to beat Tennessee. They might need him to win the Super Bowl. They don't need him to beat Tennessee. So you sit him or you bench him, whatever. I wonder really, because a lot of this makes sense to me, I wonder really what their decision to play him tonight would be about. Because they would not think that they need to play him to win this game. And if they're going to trade him tomorrow, then what are they really saying by suiting him up?
But we also don't know if they really do have a deal in place.
No, we don't.
If they if they don't, but they've had discussions, they have to play him, right? Because he's part of the team. I mean, or maybe they do what you just said. And because they may just think, look, we think we're going to. We don't know how this is going to play out. But, yes, I don't disagree with what you said, though. If you're coming from a point of, The culture is a big part of it, and I want to make a statement to my guys, and I want guys who want to be here, then don't play him tonight. But if you don't know if you're going to trade him, I think he's part of your team, and you can always maybe think you're going to salvage this at some point, and he's an important part of what you're doing.
You know,
so in that respect, by sitting him would do more damage to you than playing him.
They probably have numerous offers already. Every sign points to that. That they have numerous offers, and they will know already whether or not they're willing to take one. And I just think everything sounds like they know they are willing to take one. What exactly it is, maybe that's still up in the air. But if they have decided to take a trade offer for him, and you know they have many, you just know that. You know they have many.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's it. Then it's, you know, let's get the check. So very interesting tonight. Maybe the most interesting thing about this game is
But does it become interesting then after he doesn't suit up? What if he doesn't play? Is the game interesting?
For me it is, because I've got 17 fantasy teams. I mean,
but,
otherwise,
I mean,
no. Otherwise, no. In my pre-fantasy life, which was only 5 years ago, I would probably not watch this game.
Who should Bills fans root for tonight?
Jags.
I think so too, right?
Tennessee's better.
And you play Tennessee. You give a chance to give them a loss.
Yeah, I think so, right? Do you agree?
I think so, yeah. Hey, my 2019 sales crystal ball, I'm feeling pretty good right now about the fact that I said I don't think Jacksonville's very good. I think they have an average roster. They have a few really talented players, but overall I don't like their roster. I did pick Tennessee to win the South, which doesn't look great after last week, but I never
– 2 points.
I never bought into the Jacksonville hype. I mean, they had a stacked defense a couple years ago, Mike, but otherwise, if you look really now top to bottom – they have a couple nice players on their roster, but otherwise, I think it's a bunch of, I'm not sure about that.
I do think the quarterback is interesting. I think there's somewhat of a chance tonight that at the end of the night, you're going to wish you rather had Minshew than Mariota. But
he's an interesting guy. Mariota,
I don't,
to me.
I have money on Jacksonville under with coworkers. I guess I wouldn't have gotten any with you, but with in the studio with Joe and Chris, I have Jacksonville under because I just do not believe in defense as a smart formula. Let's talk to Eric on WGR. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how you guys doing? It's nice to talk to you, Mike and Sal. I think you guys are both experts. I absolutely love listening to you guys. Listen to you every day.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Very nice.
A couple points I wanted to bring up. Number one, I went on vacation last week with the family to Disneyland in California, took the kids out there and all that. Mm. And my wife mentioned to me after we saw three Bills fans at Disney that you just saw three Bills fans. And I said, you know what, I'm going to start counting if we see more. So from that point forward, I started counting, and I counted 17 different Bills fans that I met at Disneyland in a three-day span, which is funny because 17 is also Josh Allen's number.
Well, here's what I'll say, though. You only knew that because they were wearing Bills gear, I would assume, correct?
Right. He didn't stop every person.
Talk to me and go, the Bills, you know, this year feels different. You know, like that was everybody's attitude.
So, no, my question, though, let me ask you this. Were you wearing Bills gear so people came up to you, or did you see people wearing Bills gear so you counted?
I was wearing a Bills hat. So people.
Both.
Gotcha, okay.
And some people were wearing Bills gear, some weren't. On the fourth day, we went to Laguna Beach, and there was the people next to us that we actually stopped next to had a Bills, giant Bills flag and a giant American flag flying from their little beach camp. And they had the game pulled up on a laptop and...
That's really cool. I didn't mean to cut you off. So when I was at Disney last year, to go from one park to the other was a long walk, or you could take a boat, basically, okay? And I don't remember which park it was. And we were walking, and the boat had just left, so we had to wait another maybe 30 minutes for the next boat. The guy who's running the boat sees my wife with a Bills cap on and says, hey, you guys are from Buffalo? And she says, yes. He goes, come here for a second. He said, don't worry, I'll take you over my private boat. I'm from Buffalo as well. And he took us across the water to the other park.
That is amazing. So yep. I also had a trade target I wanted to bring up to you guys for the Bills this year. Mike Evans from Tampa Bay.
Ooh, good luck.
I still think he's an elite receiver. He's owned in my fantasy league that I'm in. I think he could perform really well for the Bills because he brings a different talent set to the team, and to trade for him, I would offer a second and Zay Jones.
I mean, good luck. There's no question Mike Evans is elite. There's no question about that. If you're in a fantasy league and he's on waivers, I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. It should never be the case. So, I mean, just good luck. I can't imagine he'd be traded. Thanks, Eric. Mike Shope with Sal Capaccio at Tops near the stadium, McKinley Parkway. Representing Labatt today, there's a chance to win a Bills road trip to see them play the Steelers in December. And if you get to Tops, you can find out what the code word is and enter the contest at WGR550.com. We'll talk Bengals. A lot of interesting things about the Bengals. New coach, Andy Dalton. We all love Andy Dalton. And injuries, a big part of their story through two games, both losses for Cincinnati so far. This is their first conference game. They have two losses in the NFC West so far this season, a blowout loss at home to the 49ers last week. Joe Goodberry, Locked On Bengals, coming up at 4. This is WGR.
I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about it at Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, you know, so it'd be good to answer those kind of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
Ron Rivera. Hey, Sal, you know what? I talk about Arizona. Maybe those Carolina reporters won't. They just refuse to talk about Arizona with him. He just needs to. And he can't get what he wants from them, from the Carolina media. I love talking about Arizona. Aren't they cool? Here's a stat for you. So they're running – oh, I'm not going to know it exactly. I might need Joe. Whether it's seconds per play or plays per second or what exactly it is. So Arizona is running their offense at a super fast pace.
Okay.
They came back to tie Detroit. They lost in Baltimore a respectable game. Like, they were in that game throughout, but they lost. So – I mean, almost without even being debatable, so far so good on Kingsbury and Kyler Murray in Arizona. And that's how they're doing it. They're just running a super fast-paced offense. But there is one such stat, there is one statistic in the realm of the pace of the offense where they are second, and they're first in everything else. But they're second to Carolina. That Carolina is running plays faster or something like that. So far, I just don't know exactly what it is. There's something like that where Carolina, who they play this week,
So this game is going to be really quick. Back
maybe.
And forth. But without Newton, which it looks like, I don't know if Carolina will be the same.
Did you have an opinion on Kyle Allen? I mean, you saw him in the preseason. He played last year a little bit, college. I don't know. Do you have anything to say on him?
No, I just can't imagine he's going to come in and be some sort of savior for the Carolina Panthers.
No, but you know what? Won't he be at least what Cam was last week?
That's true.
Newton has
to be better than what Cam has been throwing the football.
Yeah.
Cam just can't throw the football.
Yeah, I like Carolina, the over. I like stuff about this game, betting-wise, fantasy-wise, because everybody would say Newton to Kyle Allen is a downgrade, but not this Newton to Kyle Allen necessarily, and it might even be an upgrade.
No, that's right. That's right. All I know is this about Kyle Allen, that he lives with Josh Allen in the offseason, and he said that Josh Allen, amongst him, Sam Darnold, and Josh, that Josh is clearly the worst cook of the three. He told me that. He told me that. I asked him, who's the best cook? He said, it's not Josh. He's the worst.
I'm ready to take that on. I mean, I don't know any of those quarterbacks, but I'll put my cooking skills up against some people. Maybe you. Maybe you're good.
No, I'm not.
You seem like you should be.
I should be. I'm not. I'm Italian, and I don't cook. And
why did I say you? Why
I
does
don't know.
Joe, why does Sal seem to me like he should be a good cook?
Because of the Italian. The Italian part.
Because no. I'm Italian? Yeah. A lot of Italian men are.
I was not saying that. I was definitely not saying that. Maybe
it's
somewhere
okay.
In the back reaches of my brain there was some sort of
synapse. I don't think there's
synapse.
Any. If you did, I wouldn't
that.
Take any sort of offense
You can't
to it
say
you,
that.
You know, but.
You can't say that. Even if it's good, you can't do it. You can't be like, oh, you should be a good cook. You're Italian. You're a woman. You should be. Like, you can't say stuff like that. You can't even, you know, you can't even think it. No, it's because you're in shape. Because you're active, you know, because you seem like a guy who cares about a lot of things.
Well, that's the reason
cares
why
about
I don't
doing well.
Cook. I just never eat. I just, you know, run around and stay skinny, I guess. I don't know.
That's what happens?
My wife does a good job of that. She keeps me on a nice, balanced meal, nutrition, diet. Very nice.
So I like the Carolina game. Look how we did. That was like 3 minutes. Just 3 minutes of magic right there. I like the Carolina game because they're running fast, too. And I don't know that that's a downgrade for them. And what do you think about Pittsburgh, since we brought up a quarterback sub?
Well, there seems to be a lot of buzz about Mason Rudolph and what he can be, what he was in the preseason. But he didn't even win the number two job there last year.
Mm-hmm.
Dobbs beat him out for the number two job. And I can't see suddenly he has this big light bulb just went on and he's going to be a quality starting quarterback in the NFL to give them chances to win after not even being able to win the number two job last year behind a guy they wound up trading this year. But he certainly took steps enough for them to be comfortable to do that. You know, for them to make the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, Mike, makes this really interesting to me, because to me they're making a statement that says we believe that Mason Rudolph's fine, he's going to be good, and that pick's not going to be that high.
And they traded Dobbs.
Yes.
It really could just mean this is our last chance as a coach, as a GM, as both. It's what Houston looks like to me when the GM is fired and they're just trading picks to get better this year. Like, just feels desperate. So good luck to Pittsburgh.
But I respect that point. But, man, I think of Houston and Pittsburgh as two very different organizations in the way their mindset would be. And Kevin Colbert does not strike me as a man who would do that. He seems more of the long-term type of guy who would think about I might not be here to make this pick anyway. Like, he has to think about the organization going forward, and yet he still made this deal.
There was a quote from somebody that said Dan Rooney wouldn't have allowed it.
Probably right.
That's not to say it's not a good idea. I mean, I don't
That's
know.
Right.
I don't like trading for defense like that, but good luck to him.
I will say this. Their slot corner play this year has been brutally bad, like really, really bad. He will be a major – of all the teams in the league that Minkah Fitzpatrick will be an upgrade over who that team has, Pittsburgh might be number 32.
That could be right. They're at San Francisco on Sunday, by the way. Joe Goodberry. We'll talk Bengals after sports. Mike Schoep with Sal Capaccio. This is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.